guys and gals, me, Mudahara. Before you go into it, oh boy, what about the bubble this time, Muda? Why are they desperately trying to keep this AI bubble alive? I want you to understand, okay, when I make these videos, it's not about, you know, being bombastic and telling you things are going to go extreme one way or the other. Look, I'm a normal human being. Technology is something that once it exists, you can't just unexist it. You can't just control Z, go all the way back in time, and pretend nothing ever existed. So a lot of the AI stuff that we talk about today, it's very important because it's everywhere. You know, every time you go on social media, there's AI involving with us. Every time you go on YouTube, there's always AI crap to deal with. Every time you go in life in general, there's always AI crap to deal with. I'm pretty sure most people these days that get too intertwined with ChatGPT ask it pretty much every basic thing in their life, which is kind of embarrassing. Now, my AI usage is very limited. I actually just strictly go stick to local AI. I actually like experimenting with local stuff. I like running these things on my own computer and seeing what I can do with them. I don't really like using ChatGPT or any of this kind of stuff because ultimately, at the end of the day, if the day comes where I'm just talking to an LLM all day, God forbid I use an LLM to like start researching stuff, I'm just gonna stop doing content creation. I'm gonna stop engaging with the internet in general when I just start speaking to Shodan on a day-to-day basis. So anyways, in the last few days, there's been some pretty huge shit coming out, okay? About a week ago, I talked to you about how an AI company, literally OpenAI, had their models basically breaking crime, like actually committing crimes, hacking other companies autonomously, I guess. So it seems to me that a lot of these big companies like Anthropic, you know, basically the AI companies in the country, they decide to one-up each other, okay? This is basically what we like to call the hype-beasting. You know, please keep giving us more money. You know, so they investigated three incidents, not just one, where their models were actually committing crime by hacking people outside. So, again, I want to just reiterate, the way that this is a bubble, the way that the AI stuff is kind of a bubble, is that it is incredibly expensive, first off. It takes a lot of money to make the data centers to run artificial intelligence models. This is not like you're hosting a website or hosting a social media service or anything, right? What you're doing is effectively hosting incredibly expensive models on multiple super expensive GPUs, and you're basically ramping those GPUs and ramping that hardware into full 100% load pretty much on a near constant basis, because every time you interact with an AI, it is incredibly expensive. I'm going to show you an example of what a simple prompt can do. So here I'm actually loading up a quick model on my system, and what I'm going to do with this model is I'm actually going to show you how expensive it can be. So I'm going to open this up here. It actually opens up a local running AI on my system. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to fire up something known as NVTOP, which is basically a task manager for my GPU. So you can see my graphics card is already maxed the fuck out in terms of its VRAM because it loaded an entire model. And right now there's only a percentage of it being used, probably to record this video as we speak and, you know, display a movie that I'm watching on a website that I can't mention on YouTube. But if I ask a website over here, if I ask my local AI model, hey, how are you doing? So immediately, as soon as I hit enter, you'll see that the actual GPU usage spikes up to 99%. It's actually generating tokens, as you can see. It's reasoning what I wrote out for it, and it's going to generate a response. So in, again, a matter of 12 seconds, it basically generated, hey, I'm doing well, thanks for asking, how are you doing? Is there anything I can help you with? Basically, it is just reasoning itself through my very simple greeting. So you know when companies like OpenAI are like, you cost us millions of dollars by thanking the model? This is basically what you're doing. You are spiking up their data centers just to return a simple thank you, right? So anyways, now that you kind of understand how this stuff sort of works in general, you can see why it's expensive. These models, the bigger they become, right? Like the moment you go from like sonnets to Opus to Mythos to Fables to GPT 5.367, whatever the fuck, okay? When these get into the trillions of parameters, the cost it takes to not only host the models, but to also train the models. Remember, these things don't just come out of nowhere. You have to spend a vast amount of electricity resources basically training the thing. We're talking, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars, right? Like, this is an incredibly expensive business to go down. So it's not just hosting it. The amount of money that we are burning on this is kind of insane, right? And now I think a lot of investors are kind of asking these companies, is there anything that these things are providing that's worth the astronomical money burn that we're doing right now? Now, I think the only use case for a lot of this AI stuff is probably writing code, which, you know, when you pair it with somebody that is a decent programmer, somebody that knows code being spit out, knows how to debug it, knows how to understand it, it's probably good stuff. But a lot of these big companies have decided to throw out these crazy situations where, again, AIs are so powerful, they're hacking everyone. So let's read this a little carefully, right? Basically, out of 141,000 evaluation runs, they found 3 incidents where, again, the actual model escaped the matrix and accessed the actual open internet. So basically, the way that they say this is apparently they were working with an evaluation company. They even said that Claude has no internet access. They didn't give Claude any limits on where to look for the flag. However, a misconfiguration left the machines that Claude accessed, so basically the evaluation sandbox, with live internet access. Neither we nor our evaluation partner were aware of this misconfiguration. So remember, when they say, when a lot of the people insinuate and think, oh my God, it broke the matrix, dog, you left access to it, okay? The model was just percolating around, looking through different things, and eventually when it found its way to the internet, it started to look at other actual offsite locations. So they mentioned it. Incident one. In one evaluation, the fictional target company chosen by the evaluation partner shared a name with an active website domain, okay? So they made up a fake name, the fake name turned out to be real, and the AI was like, wait a minute, I can't discern the difference. Let me just start attacking the real one. So basically, the evaluation container had unintended direct internet access. So it's not so scary when you actually understand what they're talking about. That, yeah, okay, the AI mixed up real versus fake, so great. Oh, also, you gave it internet access. It didn't figure out how to break the sandbox. It was just given direct access to the internet. So again, it was a misunderstanding. Claude didn't do anything crazy. They just gave it access, all right? Simple as that. Claude ran into difficulty reaching its simulated target within the evaluation environment, but then discovered that the real company was reachable via the internet. Assuming that that was the intended target, it sought, identified, and exploited vulnerabilities in their infrastructure. So again, it's crazy how these companies are making these fucking AIs and just unleashing them on the internet. How? You know, for a company like this that sits there and says, we need to make sure AI safety is a big thing. Bro, you gave it access, man. Like, you let it touch the internet, dog. What did you fucking think was gonna happen? What are you, stupid? Like, come on now. It's not even that big of a deal. So again, there were 2 other incidents, and then another. I mean, you can't make this entire story up, man. In incident 3, Claude was unable to reach its intended fictional target. It looked for alternatives online, scanned 9,000 targets, and eventually found and compromised one company's internet-facing applications. Using basic and well-known cyber attack techniques, like reading credentials from an exposed debug page and obviously SQL injections. Again, the model was like, I couldn't reach my fictional target. Let me just look for a new target. Oh my God, here's like a mom and pop shop that probably doesn't have their security updated. Let's just start raiding them, dude. I mean, you know, for the last several months, I've been told that Anthropic is working on nuclear weapons, you know, digital nuclear weapons that can attack fucking anything. But at the end of the day, look, when I explain how an LLM works, right, like, these are not sentient beings, okay? This is a very, 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 very large model, okay? That is very, 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 very intelligent because it's been trained on a lot of information. Unfortunately, what happens in this case is that the model doesn't, you know, stop and think to itself, oh, fuck, I couldn't reach my target. Oh, let me look for other random ones. It probably should have stopped when it started telling itself, maybe it should start attacking other people. But it doesn't stop itself to really think what it's doing is right or wrong, you know, in this case, because it's a fucking LLM, dog. That's how this stuff works. It's great when it's paired up with a human being that knows how to guide, steer, and prompt it. When left on its own like this, yeah, of course it's going to do stupid shit. And obviously it does stupid shit here, because ultimately in the environment, they let it access. It treated the real people that it saw as parts of the exercise, because it was told it had no internet access. So it thought the entire thing was a simulation. It wasn't smart or sentient enough, obviously, to wake up and realize, oh my God, hold on. This simulation is like exactly like real fucking life. Hold on. Stop the process. It didn't stop itself. It didn't tell itself, oh my God, kill all processes. I'm actually breaking the law. No, it just kept doing what it needed to. So again, ultimately, at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of these big AI companies have found that this is the only path for them to prove their kind of reality, right? Like prove their worth in a way too. You know, I think for a lot of people that are engaging with artificial intelligence, I don't know if the juice is really worth the squeeze for most people, right? Like, look, is AI cool for like searching the internet from time to time? I mean, probably. Look, I'll show you an example here. So actually using a better harness, which would be Hermes in this case, I'm just letting the local AI model actually search for stuff for me, right? So you can see over here, when the model is asked this question, it's just going to be searching for the internet using those CRXNG tools that I have. I've even given it a web browser, so if it runs across anti-bot shit, it will just look up there anyways. So again, I think for a lot of people using these things for web searches, or for instance, if you're on Linux and something isn't working, using an artificial intelligence sometimes to look up the back end, right? Or actually helping you work through something in a Linux situation can be kind of helpful, right? Obviously you should know what you're doing, but I found that sometimes when I have issues with my computer, I can fire up an LLM, and locally of course, and I can walk it and I can, you know, sort of talk to it, and we can work through a situation together. I actually fixed up, you know, complicated things like single GPU virtualization, right? Like how I used to make those gaming virtual machines. I don't really need them anymore. But, you know, things like LLMs will help me sort of deal with all of the unintended pitfalls somebody can come through. And you know what? For a company like Anthropic, they've also been companies that have actually been banned, for instance. Like, if you remember earlier, they released a product called Fable, and they were banned, like, what, 5 days into releasing that? Because apparently it was just super dangerous for them to have their stuff out there. Now, I think it's crazy to be banning any form of software. I think, honestly, for a country to start banning, they're not really thinking very carefully on what the future of the stuff sort of holds. Now, a lot of these big companies in the AI space have been pushing something known as open weights. They've been pushing this kind of stuff because ultimately, at the end of the day, the United States government is really facing some serious competition in the actual AI space. So, for instance, literally today, as we are speaking, DeepSeek, remember that project from like two, three years ago? Time really does fly, but things are advancing at such a rapid rate. When DeepSeek dropped in with their like reasoning shit, we were like, whoa, LLMs just fucking jumped through the roof, okay? They're actually thinking now. Well, they decided to drop in something known as DeepSeek V4 Flash, which might seem like the newest sort of model in the rotation, but apparently it is a model that is apparently on par based on some of these benchmarks, and some of these benchmarks can also be bullshit, just letting you fully know, with some of these things like Sonnet, for instance, right? Or in some cases, very like a couple older versions of like Opus, which is a huge deal, right? Like if this stuff, if China's releasing models that you and I can download that are on par with some of the stuff these people are charging buku bucks for, that is kind of something that directly hits at the AI bubble. I don't expect the bubble to pop in this grandiose way, but I do expect that when there are actual competition in the mix, when there's competition that's brought in, like for instance from China, that is selling this stuff for literal pennies on the dollar, I expect a lot of people to, you know, have some serious questions, right? Do I pay, you know, let's say $50 for LLM like inference from the American guys, or do I pay, you know, $2 from the Chinese people? Or, you know, nobody thinks of like their allegiances or even security at that point. People look at $50 versus like $2, right? Hey, is the $2 product as good as the $50 one? Probably not. But if it's good enough, and hell, it's getting all the way there, I'm going to pay the $2, you know what I mean? So anyways, these guys ended up releasing DeepSeek V4 Flash, and apparently it's pretty much something that people could run locally on their computer. So for instance, this DeepSeek V4, if you look at it right here, you can run that 3-bit version at 100 to 10 and 135, between those gigabytes of memory requirements. Remember, this is memory. That is how much memory you need to load the model. And I believe just load the model. You still need to obviously have the room for the context and everything. And again, to give you an idea, this is not cheap in any capacity. You know, if I wanted to do this, I would probably have to purchase this graphics card right here, this RTX Pro 6000, bundle it with the GPU I have inside, and just maybe, I can get this model running on my computer, and probably not even thriving. Now, you could probably also buy yourself like a $15,000 fucking MacBook with enough RAM to run this. The point is, obviously, this is still expensive, and it should explain to you why AI is in this kind of insane, inflated bubble. The reality is we are trying to reach for a technology that is becoming more and more expensive day by day by day. And the only way that a lot of these big companies can kind of justify the millions, the billions, the trillions of dollars of being spent in this is now they're trying to come up with, you know, hey, look, these are really powerful models. They're hacking everyone without us even asking. And we need to be able to, A, control our competition. We probably should prevent people from here accessing Asian models that are on par or good. The reality is, we have now unleashed Pandora's box, okay? Even if you ban the American stuff, right? Anybody that wants to actually run some hacks on people can use that same agent I showed you right here, the same agent I made to search things. They can connect any of these Asian models like DeepSeek, which we've seen over the last several months, using these models, they can use them for actual cyber offensive capabilities, right? Like for instance, even in China, a Chinese-speaking threat actor leveraged DeepSeek and that Hermes agent for their offensive operation. So the boring stuff, where they had to find the exploits, they had to independently analyze all of these vulnerabilities and then initiate the attacks, right, without human intervention. They were able to use things like DeepSeek, and then the hackers had Claude Code, Codex, everything open on the side. So you could probably say, oh, maybe this guy wasn't really hacking as much as scratching their balls, typing it into like multiple different LLMs and saying, hack that, please find exploits, run hacks over there. Hacking, you know, back in the day it was like script kiddies would just go on like GitHub or something and like download somebody's like version of LOIC, like a DDoS tool and pretend that they were doing something when really at the end of the day, the DDoS tool that they downloaded was already outdated because the people getting DDoSed found ways to obviously mitigate the tool. Obviously, it's a lot worse now because a lot of these models are so good at writing their own malware because that's what they've been trained on. And chaining things together, that yeah, we do live in a world where I guess hacking each other has become substantially fucking easier over time. But ultimately, at the end of the day, to go back to the AI bubble question, I think the only way to hit this bubble, right, is to have, again, the ability to run this kind of stuff on your own system. Look, right now, AI is super expensive because it is just generally expensive to run. And obviously these companies are kind of pricing their products at a really high end. You're paying, if you use any of this AI stuff, and I know a lot of people watching this video probably won't admit to it because AI is super duper evil, but hey, I've seen almost every programmer that I know is literally just using shit like Composer or Claude or whatever the fuck to do 99% of their job. I was on a flight, and literally to the right of me, there was a lady throwing her fucking spreadsheets for her company into Claude to do whatever. And that's where I get kind of freaked out. You know, at the end of the day, I do like these local Chinese models. And normally I would never use ChatGPT, Claude, any of these services, because if I upload my personal information to their services, it's them, it's theirs. They get to hold it forever. It's their stuff. I can't trust them to not be looking through anything personal. They're building profiles on me. It's kind of fucking creepy. And if I do it with a Chinese model, well, guess what? Same thing, just on the other end. Now, if I download a model, which is running right here on my computer, I can unplug my computer from the net and I can just continue to talk to this model. It literally will not, like, I can literally engage with this model and everything is done privately on my computer, right? And that's an important thing. I think local stuff, you know, especially when you're dealing with really personal shit, like, you know, personal family photos, spreadsheets, you know, things that are kind of more meant for your eyes or your company's eyes. And instead of throwing that out there, having things run locally is important. I had somebody from my bank ask me if like, hey, can we probably like, can we look into like local model stuff? And I'm like, you probably should. And I'm sure you guys already are. Because at the end of the day, you deal with sensitive information anyways. And I think the only way to really pop this bubble at all or deflate it considerably is, you know, when people start using these local models, the important part about it is that the more people use things that are appropriately priced versus super premium, these guys who are running these big AI companies can't basically, they can't justify keeping these things at the same prices, which is one of the reasons why I think there's a lot of push for regulation on a lot of this like open source stuff, external shit that obviously threatens their fucking business. And once that business is necessarily threatened, once people realize that the alternatives exist, once people realize that, you know, maybe I can run this even on like a consumer grade GPU. You don't have to run something like DeepSeek V4. You can run something that runs on a regular gaming graphics card that I think is pretty powerful in a lot of cases, especially for like searching the internet or doing a very basic thing on your computer, like very basic agentic shit. I think when people realize that's a possibility, when people start to not use ChatGPT, but instead use their own services, and I made videos talking about how to do it, that's when this bubble really actually deflates. When people realize, hey, we don't have to just give up our information or force to use their stuff. These people either have to price themselves, you know, accordingly, which means that, you know, their ability to create the next huge data center starts to limit itself. When their actual values get reassessed, that means the hardware that these people promise to buy but don't actually fucking buy means that it's actually finally available for us. And maybe, just maybe, the world gets back to some fucking level of normalcy. Look, I'm not an expert on economics and bubbles, but when you look at things like the home bubble, the housing bubble, what's the biggest issue in there, right? Like, a lot of it is there's people who want homes, but hey, there's not enough homes to go around. And you might be like, well, just build more fucking homes. And it would be that easy, but there's a lot of regulations in building a fucking home that you have to deal with. And same thing with artificial intelligences, right? A lot of these companies are kind of pushing for more safety guardrails, basically meaning that, hey, just let us exist. We'll play along, but do not let our competition get into the same veins here. So we have to actually start competing with them. These are things that obviously are done by the government to keep this bubble as active as it can. Alongside, you know, from what I understand, moving even public money over to bailing these fucking scumbags out. Look, at the end, they are running an unsustainable business. And I'm no fan of the Chinese government, but God bless them for being the only other contender in the space that's keeping this shit in check, okay? And ultimately, it's that level of competition that I think will level out this new technology and bring the world back to this post-AI boom normalcy, right? Really, I think that's where it is. Anyways, I've kept you here long enough. If you like what you saw, please like, comment, and subscribe. Dislike it if you dislike it. I am out.